Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, He lives. Aren't you glad that He does? I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Aren't you so glad about it? Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him a great big hand clap of praise. You love Him this morning with all your heart. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church this morning? Why don't you turn around, give somebody a nice warm smile, a good strong handshake. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God today. What a privilege it is to be in church today. Play it, brethren, if you will. Play it, honey. Thank you. just sing it one more time. You're going to help me?
Well, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Creation testifies, let this life within me cry.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. We've got several requests this morning. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at them. Sister Maria Sponsia says that Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. Faith, saith the Lord, I had nuclear test of my heart. My cardiologist report was, I can't find anything wrong with your heart. Praise to my God. Thank you for praying for me. He is so good." Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. An unspoken prayer request for my granddaughter, no name, but the Lord knows that need. We're committed unto the Lord. Brother Daniel and Sister Linda Dunley says, our son Stephen has orders to report to Fort Gordon, Georgia from Germany this week for a 14-week course. His family was to leave with him. Then the army said his wife and his four daughters have to stay in Germany on extended orders until January or February. Heather had already quit her job and was making preparations to leave. Also, they are upset because of this, but want to be supportive of Stephen. Please remember them in prayer. So we'll just commit that need unto the Lord. The Lord's able to change the government's mind. So we just pray that the will of the Lord would be done. Unspoken prayer request for my grandson and my son. The Lord knows about that need. Rachel Hamlin says, please remember me in prayer. I'm having an ultrasound on my liver on Tuesday morning because of some concerns with my blood work. I am praying and believing for a good report. Somebody say, we believe with you. Amen. We just commit that to the Lord. Continue to remember Brother Tracy for his appetite to improve and his strength to increase in his body. So let's remember that need this morning. I want to pray for Hannah Stiles. She will be having serious surgery procedures at Vanderbilt this coming Friday, August. It says here, I guess that's August the 30th. So let's remember that need as we pray. Special prayer request for Dwayne and Sarah Greggs and family. We'll commit that need unto the Lord. Monica Cox says, I would like to thank everyone for their prayers, food, phone calls, and cards during my surgery and recovery. Thank you, and may God bless you. So we just commit that to the Lord, thanking God for that testimony. I want to thank the Lord for him and me for finding me a job, because I didn't have one for months, because my last job would not let me come to church. My new job, I will never have to miss another service because of work. I want to give him all the glory and praise. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. We've got some folks we want to welcome to the service this morning. Want to welcome John Crum to the service. I'll go ahead and announce these, then we'll recognize all of our visitors this morning. Visiting from Beaufort, South Carolina, William Cook. So we want to welcome those folks to the service. I'd like to welcome Kaylee Billinger. Hope I got that name right. She is now moved here and making this her home church. She is attending Milligan College. So I want to welcome her to the service. All the visitors, just raise your hand this morning. Just if you're a visitor, raise your hands real high so we can see you. If you've moved here recently, raise your hands real high. Let's give all of our visitors a nice hand this morning. God bless you. We want to welcome a brand new couple to the service this morning. Also, let me make this announcement. There's 1 week left for getting the recipes in the church cookbook. So if you've got anything you want to add to that church cookbook, next Sunday's the cutoff. They won't be taking any more recipes after that. Brother Ron Sherman and Sister Joy Sherman are here with us this morning, not visitors. Joy and I have officially changed our last name from Shantis to Sherman through genealogical research and DNA testing. I was able to find and meet my biological father. He is 88 years old and is in good health, thanks to the Lord. I want you to welcome to the service Brother Ron and Sister Joy Sherman this morning. I never did like that last name, Shantus, no way. I'm just kidding, Brother Ron. Brother Sherman, God bless your heart. We're glad to have you folks. Not visitors here, but they're staples in this church, I'll tell you that, and we love them with all our heart. If you're a visitor and I didn't recognize you this morning, we're glad to have every one of you here. Before we pray, I want to give you just a little word of testimony. Glenn and I this morning, we're new grandparents to a 9-pound, 7-ounce baby boy, Tucker Ryland Blevins. And most of all, he's real beautiful. And but most of all, he is very healthy. And I praise God for that more than anything in this world. So we got a lot to be thankful for this morning. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Daniel, if you'll come this morning, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's sing that little chorus together one more time as you stand. I know that my Redeemer lives. Are you glad about that this morning? Oh, yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know. Will it all creation testify that the time will be alive? I know my Redeemer.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of God this morning, isn't it? I remember years ago I used to tell a story, and Brother Donnie preaching on the worldliness and things that's taking place in this life. It was about a young boy that went to his mom. His mom was one of these people that believed that you sing a little bit more or less every day. He said, Mom, can I go a month without singing? She said, no, you can't do that. And he said, well, can I go a day without singing, or a week? Then it finally came down to a day. She said, no, I don't even think you could go a day without singing. Finally, it came down to 1 minute. He said, can I go 1 minute without singing? She said, yeah, you might go 1 minute. He said, well, Mom, he said, I want to live my life minute by minute. Amen. And you know that's the way I am. I want to live my life minute by minute. And I want it to be for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray for these requests and needs this morning. Heavenly Father, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. Thank you for waking me up this morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you for putting shoes on my feet, clothes up on my back. Thankful, Lord, because you said you'll never leave me, forsake me. And God, I know that you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, God, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. God, you hear each one of them this morning. And God, I pray that you move for every need, heal every sickness, save each one that's lost. Oh, God, I pray that you move in the name of Jesus. God, for the visitors that's with us this morning, I pray, Lord, that you'll watch over them. God, may they be blessed. And for Brother Dying, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this service in a special way. Help us, oh God, that we receive the things that, God, that you have for us to receive. God, bless every part of this service. Wherever the people may be today, wherever this broadcast might go forth, I pray that you'll bless, heal, save, and deliver in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll give you the praise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here this morning, we certainly want to welcome you. As we've stated, God bless you. All those that are streaming this service, pray God will just bless them in a wonderful, special way. Let's sing a song this morning. I'm glad that he's the lifter up of our head. Aren't you glad about it? Sing Psalms 3, if you will, brethren.
Oh, thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, thou, O Lord, are a shield
The trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say on my soul, there is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord.
God bless you. You're just singing so good this morning. God bless you. You can be seated. Brother Fred Green left us a few weeks ago, and he's come back to us. And he's got a song for us this morning. Give Brother Fred a nice hand if he comes this morning, if you will. God bless you, Brother Fred.
When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when that bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer over on the other side. For His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. And redeemed by His side, I'm gonna stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eyes. How my full heart shall praise Him for the mercy, love and grace that prepare for me a home up in the sky. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. And redeemed by His side, I'm gonna stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands. Oh, the dear ones up in glory, how they beckon me to come. And our parting down at the river I recall. In the sweet song of ages, I shall mingle with delight. But I long to see my Jesus first of all. Sing it with me. I shall know. I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side, I'm gonna stand. Oh, I shall know Him. I shall know. Of the nails in His hands. Through the gates to the city, in a robe, glory, of spotless white, He's gonna lead me where no teardrops ever fall. In that glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight, but I long to see the Lord Jesus first of all. Sing it with me. I shall know.
Praise the Lord. Sing it, buddy. Amen. Let's stand this morning, if you will, as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Bring us the word of the Lord. I know you're going to be blessed. I know you're going to pray. You're going to pray for the pastor. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Thank you.
We sing this around here a lot, so I'm sure y'all know the words, but Brother Richard will put them up there. I'm glad I know him, don't you? I'm glad I recognize him and her.
The Spirit and the Bride, the same come. The elect are feeling this stir inside their heart. 'Cause our united time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon
spirit-led life.
Amen.
To be so baptized into Jesus Christ that He helps us control our emotions, our desires, everything that we are. Aren't you glad you're that kind of a Christian?
Amen.
Let's read today from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 again, if you wouldn't mind. This is the only way that you and I can be able to fulfill these verses of Scripture. Listen to them carefully. The presence of God to live in us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, if that was 2,000 years ago, you wonder where we are today. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we so thank you today for your word, Lord. We could dismiss right now and say it's been good to be in the house of God. to hear singing and worship and sense your presence among us. We thank you for that, Lord. For we know that you are not just a God of speeches and words, but you're a God of power. You love to come among your children, and we invite you today, Lord. Now as we approach the word, we ask for your help. You see, Father, that I've studied and I've prayed and I've tried to apply myself as well as I know how. But yet, Lord, it takes the presence of God to take Logos and make it into Rhema. So I pray that you would help us, that we could be able to hear the words of life. Lord Jesus, may it be more than just ABCs put together, but may it be the oracles of God. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again today on worldliness in the church. Worldliness in the church. It's a pretty broad spectrum of what worldliness actually involves and what all is in it. When we know that there's two powers that are influencing the world today, and we are under the influence from the soul of one or the other of those powers, yet we're a miracle and we're a phenomenon and at the same time whenever we are born again. So it leaves us in a precarious situation, because we have a part of us which has been changed by the new birth, and we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yet we are left in the embodiment of the old creation. The old creation which can still fall and make mistakes and fall short of the glory of God. And as we saw last night, for the church at Corinth, they had become so caught up in things that people were saying and things that people were trying to propagate against the word and the messenger of their day, that many of those good, sincere people begin to believe lies against their messenger. They begin to believe lies against their message. So they left them in a state to where they wasn't even sure what to believe anymore. And it's sad to say that it wasn't just the Corinthian church, of course the Galatian church, the Judaizers that went there, that went to other churches, but seemingly there were some churches that were more vulnerable to these types of things than others were. And we realize each one of us as human beings, we have strengths in our lives and we have weaknesses in our lives. We're more vulnerable in certain spots for things to hit us. And don't worry, the devil won't attack your strengths. Why should he? He's always after your weaknesses. Why should he go through 40 foot of concrete and, you know, hire a crane and a backhoe and get a bunch of explosives when you can break out a window? I mean, you know, come on, be sensible. Why in the world should the devil attack you and your strengths and take years to tear you down whenever you've got that one little weakness? He just climbs through the window and he still produces the same result. It captures you. So as he was going through the churches in this time, the first, we've heard it said, and I've said it myself many times, that we long for the apostolic days and we long to be like the apostolic churches. But as I'm reading more and more about these churches, I'm really wondering if we are or not. Because you realize that they had lots of problems just like we do today. They had lots of issues, and the main reason is because they were filled with human beings. And I've done found out a long time ago, when you got them old sorry human beings, you ain't got nothing but trouble. I don't care if they black, if they white, if they mixed, if they yellow, if they green, they're going to cause trouble. Because they're human beings. Now, what's amazing is about it, that many of these saints were truly, truly changed by the Spirit of God, and no doubt many of them had a new birth. But it showed that there was an element left of them which could still be reached by this power of this fallen world. And because they were born into this fallen world, and an element of them was left unregenerate. So in that part could still be touched by the king of this world, because he had made that conquest many, many thousands of years ago. And it's the same left with us today. As we look at it, Paul says that the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. What a strange thing for a man to say, talking about those that are truly born again. But it left us in a position to where that we have the capability of being touched by a divine world, a supernatural world, and yet at the same time, once that inspiration leaves off of us, we can also be touched by the human element that we live in every day of our life.
So we'd like to look again today if the Lord would help us in this Corinthian church and look at some more of the worldly things that many people might not recognize as being worldly that had got caught up into this church. Now, let's read, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. This must have been a heartbreaking situation for this man of God, who had given so many years of his life in the city of Corinth. And yet the more that he increased his love for them, it seemed the less they were loving and being respectful back to him. But to me, the great part about it was, even though the love was getting less and their respect was getting less, it did not stop him from loving them. And it did not stop him from having the warmest desires, the warmest feelings in his heart that he could be able to produce by the presence of God. Now, you'd think that a man of this caliber would look at these people and say, I don't even need you. There's people all over the known world who have been conquested by, settled by the gospel, who would give anything for me to come and be with them. I don't even have to worry with you. But you see, that's not a real man of God's heart. His heart was, he had begotten them to Christ by the gospel. And even though they had become sidelined and they listened to things against him that was not even true, fabrications of men that were called false apostles and things that they were saying that was absolute lies. But yet Paul did not pull away from them and said, I'll not even fool with you anymore. But as a loving parent, he was trying to reach to them in a firm but gentle way in order to try to break that thing that they had pulled under. Amen. Now watch, he said, but be it so. I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with God. Now you have to be very, very careful with this verse. It has been interpreted and believed over the years that Paul had actually used some type of subtlety to catch them in a way. But that's not what the man's saying at all. He is answering, and we'll look at the next two verses following this, and it proves it. He is answering a charge that is being made about him. Now, the people have so come against Paul, and they got so bold that they had told the Corinthians that Paul had deceived them, and that Paul was using craftiness against them by sending other people to take their money. Now watch, Gill says it this way, nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. So say the false apostles of me. Now Paul wasn't saying that he himself had used craftiness to catch their guile, for these are not the words of the apostle in his own person, nor to be understood of any spiritual craft or lawful cunning and prudent artifices used by him to allure and draw the Corinthians into a good liking and opinion of the gospel of his ministry. These words are spoken in the person of the false apostles. So here they had stooped to such a degree that they had accused Paul before this church that he, by the grace of God, had founded, and it led most of these true Corinthians that had had a new birth. He had actually fathered them in the gospel and fathered them to a new birth, and yet some of them had got so caught up in the charges against him that Paul has to take part of his time in order to address this. You imagine how belittling that this must have seemed to him, that he would have to take time to write about himself instead of preaching of the glorious things of the gospel and the wonderful things of the gospel. But the charge of these false witnesses had such power and such effect that it was affecting the local assembly. And as I said last night, spirits don't die, do they? Now, watch how he says this. Be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Now, watch verse 17. It clarifies this. Did I make a gain of you by any of them who I sent unto you. Now they're charging that Paul has took advantage of you all. He sent Titus, he sent Timotheus, he sent Tychicus, he took all these other men, and though he himself directly never asked you for any money, he always very crafty, he's very, very smart, he's very cunning in the way that he done it. He never asked any of you for anything, but he sent these other men, and you took up an offering, and they took it back to him. Don't you understand? He's a deceiver. Can you imagine people being so emboldened by the devil that they would attack a prophet of God? I can. I can very well imagine, because there's folks doing it in the day we live in, and they're living under the same spirit, because spirits don't die. Now watch this. He said, did I make a gain of you by any of them who I sent unto you? They're charging me false. They're charging me wrong. And they're acting as if though that I sent these men on my behalf and I was trying to take something from you. He said, don't you know? Everything I've done for you. I'm not working against you. I love you and I'm sent to help you. Oh my. Now I'm going to ask you something, Happy Valley. If you would have been living in the year 59 A.D. when this apostle was written, this epistle, which side would you have been on? Where would you have been if Brother Branham was not your messenger, but Paul was? And instead of living in Johnson City, you lived in Corinth. And instead of being Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ, it was whatever they called their local assembly in the city of Corinth. And people were coming in our church and fabricating things against our messenger. And saying that he was a liar, he was a deceiver, he was this and that and the other. Where would you be? Amen. Who would you be believing? Praise the Lord. I know whose side I'm on. I know whose spirit that I'm under today. And if you'd put me back in time 2,000 years ago, I'd have probably had a hard time from not wanting to bash some of them people and smack them in the mouth. Talking about my prophet the way they done. Him living his life and doing what he done and them bashing him and making him a hypocrite and a liar. I'd have a bit of fight with the devil. I got around and my hand would go to twitching. Now watch here in verse 18. I desired Titus and it was him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same step? Now they're accusing me of coming among you and trying to take advantage of you. They even accuse me of sending these men to take. Well, when Titus was there, what did Titus do? And yet here sit some of these Christians, and in their mind they was actually believing that Paul was a deceiver. It's scary how powerful words can be. But you see, words alone don't do too much damage until that person saying them gets under a demon. Right, a demon. Then that demon actually gives an anointing on those words, and then people will begin to fellowship around that, and then they begin to believe them. Now what? Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? And watch this. Look at me. Look at Titus. Look at Timotheus. Look at Tychicus. Look at all of these men. Did not we strive for the same thing? Now watch, he said, walk we not in the same steps? We took the same methods. We lived the same course of life. Look at our mannerism. Look at what we've done. We've not tried to take anything from you. We've tried to live in a godly way. In verse 19, again, thank you that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're not preaching for a living. We're not making a killing off the gospel. But this was what was being projected in the first century. And Paul was so despised. It ain't no wonder. Isn't it amazing? Peter was not attacked like this. Timothy was not attacked in the same scope like this. Why? Peter wasn't a messenger of the age. You don't find Peter in his epistle ever having to defend himself, because he was much more accepted among the Jews. So you had Jewish message folks and they loved him. Well, praise the Lord. But you know what? They hated Paul. They absolutely hated Paul. And I imagine some of the women were some of the main ringleaders of it. Woo! Oh, Jesus, get me out of here, Lord. You know why? Because Peter, oh, he addressed the wonderful things of God. James addressed the wonderful things of God. But it was Paul who brought women their greatest liberty. It was also Paul who brought them their greatest restrictions in the New Testament way. That's why he still hated today so much. That's right. Now watch in verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. In other words, when I come, I'm afraid because these things are so going on that I'll find you in not a good state in order that we can have fellowship and just have a revival around the word. But I'm afraid when I come, there's going to be all kinds of different deals, and it's going to force me to have to deal with them. And then you're going to look upon me with not a very favorable view at all, because I'm going to have to rebuke this and I'm going to have to straighten that out. Yeah, that's a real God call, man. Now notice he says that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates. Oh. That was a first century forum. No doubt if that had YouTube, some of those guys there would have been making YouTube videos on Paul. Praise the Lord. Lest there be debates. Now let's look at these words and let me show you how worldlyism had infiltrated this church and drove the Spirit of God to such a place they couldn't even have Holy Ghost meetings no more. Lest there be debates or strifes, contentions among them about words to no profit, or about their ministers, as before, one being for Paul, another of Apollos, and another for Cephas. Now notice, these things were there among the church. Now Paul said, I don't want to come and have to deal with these things. Please lay them aside. So when I come, we can go into the deeper things of God. And we can have some good time of fellowship and just be able to rejoice around the word. But from what I'm hearing, it's just what it sounds like the church has got into. Debates and envyings at each other's gifts, or jealousies of one another, and evil surmising. Now look at the worldliness. No cigarettes, no pornography, no bobbed hair, no women with pants on, no men wearing dresses. But yet worldliness had infiltrated the church and made it to where the Holy Ghost didn't even feel welcome anymore. Wraths, listen to this, breaking out into words and actions which discover hatred of mind, a malignant spirit quite contrary to that of the gospel. And I want to make sure I was talking about a church and not a bar room. But, so we're not having barroom brawls, we're having church brawls. I want to make sure this one addressed to a honky-tonk. Debates, endings, wraths, strifes, lawsuits before heathen magistrates, contentions in the church, who shall be the greatest? Or about lesser matters of religion, or things indifferent, vain, and trifling, and kept up merely for the sake of victory. Oh, praise God. Yes, sir. Backbitings, speaking evil of one another, detracting from or hurting or taking away each other's character and good name. Whisperings. What a place to go to church. My Lord, sounds like Happy Valley. Sounds like Evangelical Tabernacle in Louisiana. Sounds like Cloverdale. Sounds like... Why? Because you got some of the same kind of people going there. You don't look like first century Christians, but you bother the same things. Oh, Brother Donnie, we have things that they don't have to deal with. That's exactly right. But brother, it still comes down to three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Whispers, secretly sowing discord among friends and privately suggesting evil things of each other. Worldliness. Now backbiters do it in public, whispers do it in private, but they're doing the same thing. And both of them is worldly as all get out. Straight from the pits of hell. Notice here in Proverbs 16:28, a forward man soweth a strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. There's just something about seeing two people whisper, and both of them looking at you. What is that about us? I mean, it just... They may be talking about the price of rice in China. But since they're looking at you, you know it's something about you. And of course, you'll tell your wife they were talking about you, and then your children will hear it, and then them children get mad at them other people's children because it was them that was talking about it. When they might have been talking about who knows what. But they both had to be looking at you, and they were whispering. We can't stand it. We cannot stand it. Well, y'all ain't shouting today. I hope you ain't gonna pout on me. Lord, have mercy. Can you imagine a church where all this was going on? How would the Holy Ghost ever even... I'm not sure who the pastor was during this time frame from 55 to 59 A.D. I mean, they might have had a bunch because one guy couldn't have took it. But I imagine the poor guy must have been under such a load. Can you imagine trying to pray and get the mind of God over what to preach? And you was getting these letters from Paul, the letter that he had preached and written to the Ephesian church. And you was the great mysteries of predestination and election and my, the great things that was being revealed. But you could not preach it at the Corinthian church if you was the pastor, because they was fussing and arguing and fighting and debating and backbiting and whispering. And every time you'd go to church, the pastor would preach on debating and fussing and arguing and fighting and backbiting. And then you'd leave and say, I'm getting so sick and tired of him preaching on backbiting. Why don't you quit backbiting then? He ain't going to quit till you do. He ain't going to stop till you stop. He can't. Unless you're serpent seed, and then he nor God, either one cares. But if you're children, God cares about your behavior. God don't whoop the devil's kids, but he sure knows how to bend his over his knee. I've got many a handprint on mine. You understand what I'm talking about. My posterior, because it's the love of God. You count it what you want to. You count it meanness if you want to. Rest. I consider every lick where I sit down grace and mercy. I consider every time I come to the house of God and I get preached on, I say, thank you, Jesus. His whippings are growing pains. Amen. Now look at all this. Paul said, let there be debates and endings and wrath and strife and backbitings and whisperings and swellings. Oh my, was it their feet or their legs or retaining water? Eating too much seafood maybe. Salt. Swellings with pride and conceit of themselves because of their riches, learning and eloquence and looking with disdain upon others. Tumults at church meetings, interrupting one another, going into parties, making rents and schisms. I tell you what, when I read this week, studying this, It made me want to grab every one of you and kiss every one of you. Men and women alike. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. We ain't got a church like that. Amen. We got our problems here. We've got situations to deal with. Can you imagine being a pastor and trying to deal with a church like this that's constantly going on? And you imagine the Holy Spirit being so grieved. If it's one in the church, it's one thing. If it's two or three, but it being such a body move and they're so divided, how long had it been since it had a good drink from the water of the Holy Ghost? How long had it been since it had a good fresh meal from the presence of God where they could just sit and rejoice? And this is after they've heard the great sermon on perfect love of 1 Corinthians 13. I imagine Satan was having a time before the throne of God. You imagine if Satan went before God's throne and quoted God's prophet. Because remember, he is the accuser of the brethren. And what he accuses is our human frailties. He can't accuse our soul before God, but he can sure accuse our mistakes. You imagine him going before God, hey God, don't I recall you telling Paul that you had much people in the city of Corinth? Are these the same ones? Are you proud of them, God? Aren't they good little youngins? Oh, they're just like you, aren't they, God? Oh, my, they shout and they jump and they run around and gossip and backbite. Oh, God, I thought that was like me. I mean, after all, I'm your enemy. I'm the devil. I'm the whisperer. I'm the backbiter. I'm the one who causes wrath and strife. I didn't know that was in you, God. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we see a church that is so distracted. Brotherly love and charity seems to have just taken its flight. Instead of coming to church so excited about the word, you imagine they'd stand out in the vestibule, the foyer, out in the parking lot where they parked the chariots. And there'd be little groups of them. And over here's one little group. How you doing, brothers? Fine. How are you? Y'all talking about the word? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Then he'd walk away. How many's in love with everybody? Oh, yeah. How many's going to heaven? Amen. Not if you don't change your ways. Listen to me, Happy Valley. Whispering. Backbiting is worldly. What good does it do your sisters to have long hair and a big old long tongue to match it? Brothers, what good does it do you to have short hair and a short temper? How God's heart must have been broken. How Satan must have rejoiced. This church had been a heavenly atmosphere. Many of these people had been former prostitutes. They had been into the cult goddesses of worship. They had been in some of the filthiest positions you can imagine in your mind, being a port city, according to us. And a revival must have broke out among them. And that prophet of God staying there leading that word. And somebody'd come in and get converted. And they'd go out and tell their friend. And go out and tell their neighbor. My, they'd bring them back. It started out maybe one and then another and then another. Revival broke loose. The Holy Ghost is moving in such a powerful way. So Satan changed his tactics. Smoking don't bother him no more. Can't get the women to cut their hair no more. Can't get them to put on pants. Can't get them to do this. Hey, come on, come on. We've got to revitalize here. We've got to change the way. I know. I flip over to my religious side. The drinking side don't excite them no more. The worldly side on that, but I'll flip over to my religious side. Get among them. Start whispering. Start backbiting. Ascend personalities among them. Start personality cults among the message. Lord Jesus. Wonder how long it'd been since they'd been able to have a really good revival. Let's look at another aspect of worldliness. Slander. Slander. It's not only against the Bible, it's against the law. Watch this in Numbers 14:32. But as for you, your carcass, they shall fall in the wilderness. Your carcass is speaking to those who've questioned God's word in the land of promise. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Now who is this directed to? Philistines, Amorites, Hittites, children of Israel. They've all come out baptized in the sea unto Moses. They ate manna every night, which Brother Bam tells us in choosing of a bride was a type of the message. This is why we must have a great falling away from the message. And the number of the days in which you search the land, 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it under this evil congregation. They are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Now listen to the reason why. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Now look what the word slander means. Whispering. Defamation, evil report, defaming, evil report, unfavorable saying. So now they go into the land and they look around and they've gone now for 40 days and they come back and they find, well, yeah, we saw this and we saw that, but there ain't no way we can do it. There ain't no way in the world. I mean, this is absolutely impossible. We saw the giants now, we saw this and the other, and they actually slandered the promise of God. Do you understand? The revealed word of this hour while we're here in time is our promised land. And those that have gone into the promised land, and many of them that are now going away and pulling away, what are they doing? They are slandering our land. They are slandering our promise. And the Lord God will visit upon them that which is just. You're not slandering me, friends. You're not slandering this church so much these people, but slandering the promise of the Almighty God. It's dangerous territory. By bringing up a slander upon the land. Look how God views slander. Psalms 101 verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, can you imagine those slandering God's prophet? Think about it. A man that'll slander his neighbor, God will cut him off. Amen. Now I realize a lot of folks think God got saved in the Old Testament, but I didn't know he was lost. God's character is still the same. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. That is still his word. Him that slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer. Now watch, in Romans, now as Paul deals with it here, chapter 1, verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Hey, wait a minute. Where was pornography in there? Where was drinking? Where was smoking? Where was marijuana? Where was all the worldliness? This is worldliness. My wickedness, look what it is, iniquity, depravity, wickedness, malice, evil purposes and desires, covetousness, greediness, greedy desire to have more. Do you understand that being greedy is worldly? Some folks, no matter how much money they make, they're always wanting to make more. And they'll lie and they'll cheat and they'll do whatever they got to do to get it. Shame on you. Ooh. Maliciousness, ill will, desire to injure. Desire to injure, wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws. Debate, strife, contention, wrangling. The word in the original meant also contention, strife, altercation. Connected with anger and heated zeal. Deceit, guile, subtlety and craft. Malignity, bad character. Depravity of heart and life. Malignant, subtlety, malicious craftiness. Guilty of very ill manners. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Whisperers. A whisperer, secret slanderer, detractor. Verse 30. Backbiters. Haters of God. Despiteful. Proud. Boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedience. Disobedient to parents. Worldliness. Worldliness. Mama. Look at how Satan can destroy a life, a family, a church. And every one of them women in there have long hair, no makeup. The men can look the part on the outside and yet be corrupt with these things. Whispers, backbiters, pernicious in their ways. Praise the Lord. Well, should I go on? Can y'all take a little more? What's this? This is how Paul wanted the early church to know those who was causing division and troubles. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses, which is scandal on. A trap, or a snare that is set. Offenses contrary to the doctrine that you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Mama. Worldliness. Worldliness. Let's read in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Look at the word bite. To bite with the teeth. Metaphorically, to wound the soul, cut, lacerate, rend with reproaches. Paul, isn't it strange that Paul would reflect this to Christian cannibals? They're no longer really interested in feeding on the word, but they're feeding on one another. So they're biting and devouring one another. Now notice, this is not the terms that should be even mentioned to sheep, since sheep are not carnivorous. Sheep are not meat eaters. And remember, friends, bride cannot persecute bride. Elect cannot persecute elect. Absolutely impossible. It's not in their nature. It is absolutely unfitting. Totally. It is fitting for wolves and dogs to get after sheep, but not fitting for sheep to chase sheep. But it is the way of the world to try to move over on them sheep. Unlike the natural sheep now, the sheep has only the sheep nature which was born in him. But you and I have the sheep nature by the new birth. But we have an element of an old black dog in there. Oh, I know some of y'all think yours is a chihuahua. And I wah-wah when I hear you, when I think you think it's a wah-wah. Some of y'all ought to really face the truth and realize you're a Great Dane. Chihuahua, nothing. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm a cultured one. I've got a little black poodle. I'm a poodle dog. I take my little nature over and let him file its toenails. And my, you know, we do all that. Come on, face the truth. You're like all the rest of them. You ain't got nothing but an old slobbering mad dog. He's crude. He's rough. He needs to be changed by the power of God. Whew. My. But if you bite and devour one another, as what? As wild beasts. Worldliness. Now look, it was not just confined to the Corinthian church. But this worldly aspect had moved over into the church at Galatia. And they were fighting and fighting and fighting one another. There is a very ancient tale of two snakes who got into a brawl. And they was fighting and fighting and carrying on, and then all of a sudden they changed. And both snakes headed for each other's tails. So snake A attacks snake B's tail. Like this. This is his head, this is his tail. Then this snake over here attacks his tail. And they start swallowing each other. Now in 1856, there was a man in Arkansas, which was a man that hauled freight from Batesville and from one place to another. He actually saw this. Two big monstrous black snakes, which were in a fight. And they were kind of standing up, you know, black snakes will do. And fighting and carrying on. All of a sudden they changed and he watched them snakes as they began to devour one another. And he just stood there in amazement as he watched them. And they finally swallowed one another right up till their heads meet. Now this man is so perplexed and overwhelmed with this, he picks this circle up. Now they're no longer two individual bodies, but they have now become a circle. So he picks up this circle and throws it on his ox cart and takes it over to his friend's house, which recorded this story. And he brings it out and he hollers at the guy and he comes out and here lays these two Christians, I mean these two black snakes. And they have swallowed one another. You realize no matter how many mice were in his barn, they couldn't eat them because they was full of each other. No matter how many joys of life that a black snake would like, and I don't understand how black snakes think, but no matter how many things there was around them, they could no longer enjoy it. Because they had fed themselves on another black snake. Now can you imagine when Christians become so bitter and Christians become so full of animosity that they're not feeding on the word, they're not feeding on prayer, they're not feeding on the silence alone with God, but they're feeding on one another and they can't wait to hash and bash and bite and tear and rip. So this man that brings the snakes and his friends grab a hold of this circle and they pull them out of each other's mouths and kill both of them. That's the best snake there is. Then, of course, they say a few nice words over and may they rest in pieces. What had moved in this great church at Galatia? That they were biting and fussing and eating up one another. The same devil that would like to annihilate our church. and every other message church that stands for truth. Can't you see the potential of what Satan has? If you've got a little small church of 5 or 10 or 15, that means you've got 15 different possibilities. 16 including the pastor. 16 different possibilities of Satan moving in. But what if you've got 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 800, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600? Then you've got 601 possibilities, including me. Can't you see why we need the Holy Ghost in our church like never before? Did you see why as our message grows in numbers, we need the Holy Ghost among us like never before? But generally what happens is the more people get and the bigger they get, the less they depend on God. And the less we depend on Him, the greater fools we are. My. Notice He said, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And what will happen? Then your whole life, your motive, your purpose, everything will now be changed. All the joy that you could have as a child of God. All the fruit bearing that you could be as a Christian, as a fruit tree of God. You can't no longer be that. You're too involved in munching on your brother. Any of you folks ever get to munchies? You know what the munchies are? It may hit you at midnight. It may hit you at 10 o'clock. It may hit you at 9 in the morning. And you just get in this rage. I want something to eat. And you're not sure if you want something salty, something sweet, something in the middle. You don't know, but you're wanting something to eat. Don't sit there and look at me. You know what I'm talking about. And you realize that Christians do that. They get Christian munchies. But the problem is they want to munch on other Christians. Well, from experience, I can tell you that eating other Christians causes bad burping problems. They don't digest good. They don't taste good. And they don't make you grow. They will make you bitter. They will make you hate. But now when a Christian gets the munchies and he says, I'm so hungry. Man alive, oh my God. Oh. Oh. Ooh. Oh, praise the Lord. All ye nations, praise Him. All ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, man, that was good. I think I'll try another one. Okay, blessed. Oh, blessed. Oh, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimony. Blessed are they that seek Him with the whole heart. Now that's good for the munchies. Praise God. That's good for the munchies. I mean, that'll help you grow. It'll give you vitamins. It'll take bitterness out of your life. It'll drive hatred 10 million miles away from you. Let me read this to you. I shared it with you a couple of weeks ago in Turning Northward. Brother Ben says, let's love one another and don't fight one another. As long as the devil's got you fighting one another, he don't have to fight at all. He will sit back and has a picnic watching you fight one another and laugh at you professing to have the Holy Ghost in fighting one another. Now here is Paul's answer to biting and devouring one another. The very next verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now this is apparently Holy Ghost filled Christians. Because they're the only ones that can walk in the Spirit, right? If you notice, this is capital S. So if we will walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You mean a child of God, a Holy Ghost filled Christian still has the lust of the flesh? You're a twofold being. You're converted truly from the soul, but the lust still lays in the flesh. That's amazing about the flesh, because the flesh has the capability of being totally neutral Now, the flesh, there's three or four different meanings of the word sarx, which means carnal, one which means the body, one which actually means the flesh itself. And the word is interchangeable in the New Testament. So many times when it says flesh, it's not just talking about your skin. It's talking about the sarx, the sensual nature that is left to you whenever you're converted. So here Paul says the way to counteract and stop this Christian munchies and being a Christian cannibal is to walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the Corinthian Christians had come to a place that were so carnal that somebody would bring up an accusation against the prophet of God. They'd never make them prove it. They talked about one another. They whispered. They murmured. They was backbiting. All this going on in the church. And all the time loving God with all of their hearts. And no doubt they felt like they were closer to God than they'd ever been before. Watch this. Walking in the Spirit. What would a person do that? What would they do? Does that mean they go around in a mantra all the time? They'll lock you up for that. I might call the cops on you anyway if I see you doing it. It's walking in the Spirit, going around shouting all the time. Oh, I feel it all over now. No. Any people can live special under special circumstances. But the real test is the ordinary, everyday, 7 to 4, 8 to 4, 9 to 5 type of, that's what's a real marriage, even in the natural sense of a monogamous marriage. It's not someone who goes out and has an adulterous fling and thinks, boy, they're really enjoying their marriage. That ain't no real marriage. A marriage is living with the same woman and the same man and loving her more when she gets, not as pretty. Let me say it that way. And he gets on the level, and all these things begin to change, and all these things, and yet you love them more than you ever loved them before. Now that is a miracle. Right. Going to church, many of you have sat here for many, many years. Now I've been here 26, 27 years. Many of you know the way I preach. You know the style. You know how many steps I take over this way and how many steps I take over this way because it's programmed to my subconscious. And you know all of that. And yet you come, you say, praise God. It's like the first time I ever heard the word. My, coming to church now. That's God, the way God wants it to be. But it can become to where, well, we're going to church. I was thinking about going to Rome Mountain for a picnic instead of going to church. Well, honey, we could go after. I know, but the rhododendrons are so pretty. The fog is on them. Oh, you're getting real romantic now. Why don't you aim that romance toward the Lord Jesus? And come in here in the cool of the morning while we gather together in the house of God and let Him go to ministering to us His Word. Oh, my. That's the divine romance, my friends. So when a person walks in the Spirit, what do? They just sit at home and they don't work. They don't know welfare. You mean to tell me a Christian can walk in the Spirit and work on a job? A Christian can walk in the Spirit and go to a wrecking yard and pick up converters or paint or build a house? They can walk in the Spirit? They can. How do they do it? They must have the indwelling presence of God in them that never leaves. And as they do their job, as a woman makes her bed and makes the apple pies and all that sort of thing, she's living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit on a day-to-day basis. We don't have to wait for a special revival. We don't have to wait for a special camp meeting. It can be special every day of our lives with the Lord Jesus. Walking in the Spirit isn't an emotional experience. It's not even with the anointing. Oh, glory. But it's so living every day of our lives. What is it? Brother Jim, what is walking in the Spirit? The Spirit directing us. Him leading and directing. And when Satan would aim your flesh to be a Christian cannibal, the Spirit says, you remember the last time you ate a brother? You got really sick to your stomach. You remember the last time you chewed up the preacher? Oh, you got bad, nauseated. Don't eat a Holy Ghost preacher. They're not good for you. And the Spirit will direct you and say, instead of you doing that, why don't you go pray for them? Why don't you take 5 minutes and go get away from them and just pray for them and say, God, I pray you'd help my pastor. God, I pray you'd help this and that. And just leave the taking care of them to me. That's a Spirit-led life. And when Satan lays a snare before you and your flesh may not perceive any danger, your senses may not perceive any danger, but the Holy Ghost will say, watch, be careful today, be careful. And it makes you alert all day long until the instance happens and you say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm persuaded, friends, our lives could be much more victorious if we would only walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's stand together. Let's stand. Brothers, let's move over a couple of pages there to the quote on thirst. Paragraph 29. Lord willing, we'll pick this up next time. I love these statements there. They're just absolutely profound to me. There's a control tower in the body that tells you the need that's needed in your body. And it's brought to you by thirst. Also, there's a control tower in the soul that tells you the spiritual things you have need of. Something in your spirit. And you can tell what kind of a life is controlling you. And when you can see what your desires are, then you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you that's creating this desire that you have. Now, I want you to notice, he didn't put one control tower in a Christian, but he put two. So you're able to look at that and see who's controlling it. Now, watch this, paragraph 31. There's a control tower of the soul and one for the body. And each other is a warning caller for the needs of the other. Each one calls to the need for what the caller is calling for. And it sends out a wave of warning. For instance, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires that's in the body. Now watch how he uses these two separate words. Flesh and body. So flesh here is sarx, S-A-R-X, which is the sensual, unregenerate part of you. And then it will cry out to what? The neutral part, the body. Now, if the flesh was only negative, the flesh could never respond to the positive and the spiritual. But the flesh can actually be negative in the sense that it can reflect positive or negative as far as wrong. It can be wrong or right. These hands can worship God, or these hands can get into mischief. This tongue can express the goodness of God, or it can whisper and backbite. So that means my flesh can be neutral on either side. I can give to it negativity or I can give to it positivity, but because it is neutral, it can go either way. For instance, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires that's in the body. And the spirit desires for the things that's in the soul, the desire is. And many times these war one against the other. And we find here what's a great trouble today. Listen to this simple, powerful thought. Too many people try to live between those two desires. For one of them, the desires the things of the earth, and the other desires the things of heaven. Worldliness in the church. So these Corinthian Christians, we're hearing a warning. The gossipers, the false apostles, the slanderers accusing Paul. And there was a response then from the control tower. Begin to reason through hearing. And they would tell him, Paul said this and he said that. Don't you see he's trying to deceive you? Then gossip got among them. And all kind of, I'm a Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. I'm of Christ. So the control tower run in. And in their body, they begin to join and make cliques and clans in the church. And before long, the control tower on the soul became so weak and emaciated. He was so weak that he couldn't even hardly reach out no more. Because they was constantly feeding that black dog. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. That don't feed the Holy Ghost. It don't feed the Holy Ghost to make Reaganites. Pruittites, Biscolites. We want to be Christians, not Reaganites. Praise the Lord. But the flesh loves that stuff. So the flesh runs down and it sends out a signal, a wave of warning, a wave of warning. And the flesh says, feed me, feed me. And the soul says, don't forget me. Don't forget me. And the soul sends out the warning, beep, 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 beep. So you don't pray on Monday, you don't pray on Tuesday, you don't pray on Wednesday, don't read your Bible, you don't listen to no tapes. A week goes by, you're a little bit weaker. Second week goes by, just happened to be your vacation time, so you're certainly not going to do that on your vacation. And then the third week goes by, one of the kids gets sick, and then the fourth week goes by, a month's gone by, and you ain't read or prayed, or even been in church. And you start feeling weaker. And the signal's emitting, beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep. And then you don't care if you go or not. But the flesh is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And the soul is so weak, so emaciated, and so pale. You want to go to church? I can't. I'm too weak to go to church. You want to pray? Okay. Come on, we need to go, honey. We need to go. I just can't. Jesus knocks on your door and the Song of Solomon. And you say, I put off my coat. I've took my shoes off. I'm already in bed. And you're so tired, you can't get up. And all of a sudden, a moment of alertness hits you and you say, what am I doing? What am I doing? So you go to the door handle, and when you put your door on the handle, it's still dripping with myrrh where he was. But you waited and you waited and you waited. And you open the door and say, he was here. I knew he was here. I still smell his fragrance. Don't wait till you get so tired. You can't get up. Your body will tell you when you're thirsty. It will tell you when you're hungry. It will tell you when you need fellowship. It will tell you when you get into the time you need all these various things. Respond to that. But don't shut up the voice in your soul. It's good for us to come to church. It's good for us to hear preaching. But there ain't nothing like you getting alone with God. Friends, do you still do that as Christians? Do you still get alone with God? Pray, read your Bible, listen to tapes, where not you and the wife, not just you and the kids, but you and God, where you can spend time with Him alone, shut in, so the frequencies of your soul can be charged. In the day we're living, we're getting more depleted than any age it's ever been. And we need strength. I need my signals charged, Brother Terry. Don't you? Amen. I love to come to church and I love to be with you. And I receive when I come here. But much of my receiving is from me and Him. When I'm connected directly over to Him and He's recharging my battery as it was. Praise be to God. Don't let your personal walk with God go. Don't make your walk just you and the church. It ain't you and the church. It's you and God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray for your mercy to us. Lord, when I read these things in Corinthians and Galatia and church, these are the problems that they had. History, read of the different confrontations that they had down through the ages. It makes us aware that the conflict has always been here. And we know, Lord, as long as we're here in life and dealing with human beings, we will have conflict. But we realize the greatest conflict is not actually in the church per se. The greatest conflict is in the individual. And the reason that people cause conflict in church is because they've not learned how to resolve the conflict within themselves. Many people have problems, say, in this church, and they don't like this, and they don't like that, and then they leave and they go somewhere else. They're satisfied for a while. And then all of a sudden, some of the same problems start raising up again. And then they'll go from that one to another, and another, and another, and the story never ends. And it won't until they begin to resolve the conflict within themselves. So help us, Lord, to realize that some of these fathers, some of these mothers, they have a war, a conflict that's going on within themselves, and they've never yet become the full victor of that. So that conflict explodes over into the family. And then there's conflict in the family. And then that conflict will spill over into the church, or into the place where they work, or if it's a school child, the place they go to school or college, whatever it is. Because the conflict has never been resolved within themselves. They've never learned the true concept of what a Christian is. A Christian is not this sinless person that never makes a mistake. It's not this person walking around in a la-la land, as we would say, that never has any battles or problems. It is a Christian, a person who has problems, troubles, but they've learned to overcome every one of them. They've learned to walk in a spirit world. It does not make them strange or weird as far as other Christians, but they're all baptized into the same body. Makes them mystical, one to which the phenomenal can be revealed. So they walk like others. They eat food like others. They have troubles like others. But somehow they've learned to cope with it. They've learned to deal with it. Praise God. So instead of being troublemakers in their home, they're peacemakers. Instead of being troublemakers in the church, they're peacemakers. And you had a special thing to say about those people. In your Sermon on the Mount, you said, blessed are the peacemakers. What an honor to be a peacemaker. How could we, born in confusion and utter chaos, ever be able of creating peace? Only by the Prince of Peace coming in our nature. And then we could become peacemakers. Grant it, Lord. Take worldliness out of us. Backbitings, whisperings, slander, wrath, emulation, strife. Help us, I pray, Lord God. May we be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Grant it, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I pray over this prayer call today, Lord. You know this need and request. I ask you to move, Father, in Jesus' name. How many today, with all of your heart, wants to be this kind of a Christian? A Christian who does not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But a Christian. Now listen, friend, this does not give you excuse to sin. There is no excuse for a Holy Ghost filled person to yield to temptation. None. There is no devil that is greater than you once you're born again. The only reason we yield is because we choose to. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can we offer prayer one for another? Would you just take and lay your hand on that person standing by you? I trust that the Spirit of God will help us to see worldliness, worldliness, still in our old flesh that combats against us, so we can bring it under our feet. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Eagle to eagle. Believer to believer, Lord. As I read these things this morning, Lord, about the Corinthian church, I realized that Happy Valley has the same potential to become that kind of church. We could be so full of murmurings and backbitings and whisperings and gossip that we could still meet three times a week, still have the same musicians, same song leader, same pastor, same people coming here, Lord. Except the missing element would be you. Your presence wouldn't feel welcome because we so grieved your way. It made me shudder to think about it, Lord God. Knowing that Satan could get among us as an assembly that is set in heavenly places. No doubt that Corinthian church had set in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They had soared in the realm of the supernatural and heard the word of God and seen God do such wonderful things among them. And now Satan had got among them and used their mouths and their opinions and their pride and so on and so on. And there's running their mouths about their prophet and, oh Lord, about one another. And the heavenly atmosphere had turned into a very, very earthly atmosphere. More like a cesspool. And they were biting and devouring one another and running one another down. Oh, but Lord, we know you were mindful. Hallelujah. Lord, there's not no third epistle of Corinthians. So we don't know exactly the outcome of this story. As far as Paul rewriting it and coming back and saying, well, I came and I visited you and we got all this worked out and straightened out. But we know historically this church continued to exist. It was on a route of self-destruction, Lord. It had reached almost a pinnacle of self-annihilation. Not by Bob Dare. Not by the people coming to church drinking whiskey and wine and gin. But Lord, by talking about one another, running one another down, it was on the brink of annihilation. But you use that man of God and other men of God that come through to chop and chop and chop until they chop those weeds out from among the Corinthians. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I believe you're just as mindful of this church and every other true church that's built upon Jesus Christ, the Word. I believe you're just as mindful of the churches in Trinidad and Congo, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Kenya, London, wherever they are around the world, Lord. Though Satan would love to do the same thing to our assemblies in this day, I believe you're just as mindful, Father, that you'll send pastors and evangelists and ministers. Oh, Lord, though it may be difficult and we know them weeds can get so close, it takes a man that knows how to use that hoe to keep from cutting down that corn. Because it may be so close to the corn, if he's not careful, when he chops that hoe real fast to cut down that weed, he'll nick the side of that corn or chop the corn down as well. God, give us skilled men. Give us skilled men, Lord God, that know how to use these implements, dear God, that you put in their hands to chop out our lives and make us weed-free Christians, Lord God. We don't desire that our hearts and our minds and our mouths and our ears and our makeup be a bedding ground for weeds and tares of the devil. But we want to bring forth the seed of the word, Lord God. Help us, Father. We got so much going on around us in the world. So much going on around us in the message. But may we not be contaminated by it, Lord. Many are turning away and oh, they're just becoming so bitter, biting and devouring, Lord. But may we move right on. We pray for them, Father. Many of them are called up, no doubt. No doubt many of them will come back. We hope and pray so. We know that Paul severed those who packed the lies from those who were innocent and got into the voice of it and heard it. They didn't really believe it, but they were caught up into it. We pray for them today, Lord. Some that's caught up in the nonsense. May the Spirit of God open their eyes, I pray, Lord. Open our eyes today, Heavenly Father, that we can see the worldliness that would be around us. Chop us out, Lord. Clean the garden of our lives, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Lord, when we come in these doors, may we smell your presence, as it were. May the frankincense and the myrrh, the dewdrops from glory, may the angels of God always feel welcome at this place. May the Holy Spirit feel welcome, Lord God, that you can come among us, heal us, correct us, save the lost, fill with the Holy Ghost. Help us that we'll be guardians of what you've given us here, Lord God. Grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Can we just raise our branches, as it were? Oh, I feel the rain coming near. Sing something for us, eh? Let the gentle drops of His rain, of His anointing. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes you need a good heavy downpour. Sometimes you need a little slow, gentle shower. Oh, my. Sometimes those heavy things run off and you don't get much good out of it. But sometimes you just need a slow, gentle shower. So He'll send the rain down on you. And it may rain for an hour or two or three. My, your roots are just soaking it up. Your leaves are soaking it up. My, hallelujah. They're in the presence of the King. You're being rejuvenated, renewed. Praise be to God. Can we just stand here for just a few moments before we go? I'll let you go momentarily where you can go have your lunch. Oh, I'm eating real fine myself. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I've been sitting at the table of the King this morning, feasting on His Word. Let His presence just minister to us as we stand in this gentle shower of the rain of His anointing. Maybe the preaching of the Word chopped out your garden, as it were, and there's a little weed here and a little vine over there and something else over here and over there. But now it's time for the healing to come through. I believe I got it chopped out by His grace just in time, right before the shower is fixing to pass through. Glory to God. Can't you see what preachers are doing? They've got a full-time job trying to keep our gardens cleaned out before the latter rain falls. What is the latter rain? Rapturing faith. That surge right before she leaves this world. That short, quick work that'll change our bodies in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Praise God. Sing something for us, Harry. Raise your branches now. Let's just worship in the presence of the King of Showers. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God.
Open the floodgates.
Lord Jesus, may you saturate us today as the world of your presence. May you rain healing. May you rain deliverance. May you rain the baptism of the Holy Ghost on every soul that don't have it, Lord. May you rain forgiveness and mercy. Take our harshness away, our bitterness away, Lord. May the gentle shower of the Holy Ghost saturate into our hearts.
Wash my heart, Lord. Open the floodgates.
Oh, God, Lord God.
been busy here and there, till life's burdens and its pleasures have crowded out my prayer. Now I find I'm empty, Lord.
Oh, yes.
But if I'll confess my sin,
thank you, Jesus.
Would you let me feel your spirit in my heart again? Your joy down in my soul, and the sweet peace that only comes when Jesus has control. Oh, I don't want to walk this lonely road. You know sweet close fellowship we shared made joy for rivers flow. I know I've been neglectful, Lord, but you know where I've been. Would you let Spirit in my heart,
oh, glory.
Again.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord.
Lord, I need to feel your power and your joy down in my soul.
You ever get that way where you just need your joy?
And the sweet peace that
you go, but before we do, anybody ever get there besides me? Sure, you just feel like you just want to feel him new again. Brother Melvin, you just want to be refreshed with his presence. It's not that you're backslid. It's not that you're an unbeliever, but you just get so busy with life and troubles and all that. Let's just sing it to him once more before we go, and let's just make it a prayer. I don't believe there's no way he can hear this
from a sincere heart and it not just move him and him respond back, "You mean you want me? You want to spend time with me? Lord, I need to feel your power and joy down in my soul and the sweet peace that only comes when Jesus has gone. I don't want to walk this road. Oh no, Lord. We can see where it ends, Lord Jesus. Would you let me feel your spirit once again? God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I'll see you Wednesday. Lord, I need to feel your power and joy down in my soul and the sweet that only comes when Jesus has control. I don't want to walk this road. I know where it is. Yes, Lord.
Close, sweet fellowship we share made joyful rivers flow. I know I've been neglectful, Lord, but if I'll confess my sin, would you let Spirit in my heart again?